The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
Andrea Gilligan, News Talk presenter, Saoirse Hanley, columnist, The Sunday Independent. You're welcome to the roof.
Thank you, Kieran. It's lovely.
Yeah, it is lovely.
Lovely.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Who did you bribe to get up here?
Oh, Andrea, we do this every year. Yeah. You're a regular guest as well. Yeah.
I know. We need to bring lunchtime live.
We're worse than the Late Show. It's like, well, go
How
on the roof. Go down the canteen there and see who you can round up. Saoirse, you've got two pairs of glasses on.
I have got two pairs of glasses on, yeah. Right. I've taken four eyes and I'm for six eyes instead.
To me now.
Right, I obviously wear glasses. Obviously, no one can see me. I wear glasses,
obviously, I'm well known for wearing glasses.
Obviously, it's Saoirse Hanley glasses wearer. Yeah. I have a weird left eye, so I only ever need like one contact lens, right? So I don't wear them often because they're annoying. Because I can feel one eye with, one eye without. So I always wear glasses. I should get prescription sunglasses. My prescription's run out, so I'm wearing regular glasses and a pair of sunglasses over them. Surprisingly, when you look at me front on, it's kind of okay, but for you, it's very obvious I'm wearing two pairs of glasses.
Do you know what's gaffed? Yeah. That I'm sitting right beside you, and I had not noticed.
So you hadn't noticed. Yeah, well, Andrea, maybe you should be wearing glasses.
I know. Do you know what's funny? I have sunglasses on. I probably need glasses, actually.
Do you? Do you wear glasses?
No, only for driving. But clearly, I need to wear them more than just driving.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And is that a new thing, or had you always?
No. It's a sure sign that I'm turning 40. I got them in the last year.
Yeah, I got glasses.
It's the road signs.
Only a few weeks ago.
Haven't put them on.
No,
I don't wear them in public. Like, I just wear them in the car.
Well, some of us wear many pairs.
Yeah, <it's exactly.
laughs> right, Andrea.
Saoirse is compensating for us.
I know.
Well, mine are for reading.
Wear mine more then.
Mine are for reading. So you know, they're kind of end of the nose, kind of looking down. Paper.
Do you wear them down at your nose? I bet you do now.
Oh no, I don't wear them. They've barely been out of the little green free felt Specsavers thing. You know what I mean? They're like, do you want a better case? And I said, well, I'm never going to wear them. So no, give me the cheapest case you have. A free PRSI one? Yeah, that'll do.
100%.
So anyway, enough of our eyesight ailments. The good weather, Andrea, tell me a little bit about what you would ideally be doing on a summer's day like this now, if not in work.
Do you know what? Like years ago, Rusnaila Beach at home in Ballyshannon in Donegal, like that is where I imagine the entire county is today and yesterday, and it's where I'm going to be over the bank holiday weekend. It is just absolutely beautiful. If you don't know Rusnaila Beach, you drive down this really steep hill down to it. It's one of the few beaches in Ireland you can drive onto, makes it amazing. It's the part I love.
No, never going there. I hate driving onto a beach,
but it's huge. It's absolutely
doesn't matter, Andrea.
Right? So you can have
why turn the beach into a car park?
Ah, no, it's not though. It's absolutely gigantic. So it's fantastic. So my memories, like my early day childhood memories, are down on Rusnaila Beach and being there with my mum, because my dad was always working and really busy in the summer, and we always had like a picnic. I distinctly remember these red plastic cups, like flask cups, that you brought down with like my wadi orange or whatever.
Bits of sand in them.
Yeah. And do you know what I think?
Crunching away in
my wadi. I still think they're home in the house. I'm pretty confident they are. So that's kind of my childhood memory. So I love on a nice day like this, if I was at home, I would be out walking Rusnaila Beach tonight.
Saoirse?
I'd have an Aperol spritz in my hand, first of all, anyway. And
nice.
I'd probably be looking at a body of water. Because also, like Andrew, like being from the coast, like I'm just, the Liffey doesn't quite add up.
Doesn't do it for you,
It's not quite glittering in the same way that, you know, Cork Harbour is or anything. But, yeah, I'd be looking at a body of water. Preferably, I'd be reading a book, actually. That's what I'd be doing in the sun.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be able to see. Not back to my eyesight.
Can we you agree with me? People who drive onto beaches, they're worse than Hitler.
Yeah, you hate
it. I'd say that's definitive. No, do you know what it is, though? It sounds like that's a nice beach that wouldn't get too populated, because I worry that if you can drive on, would not everyone just drive on and then there's just cars everywhere and you can't lie down?
Oh, no, you still have
no, it's thing. Terrible. So Inch Beach is like this in Kerry as well, and people love it. It's terrible because it just turns into a big car park, and you've got this road effectively in the middle of it. People park on either side of it. It's
exactly like Rusnaila.
Yeah, I know, but it's awful.
I'll bring you up sometime. You'll
but it's
it.
Like, I just don't understand this idea of being kind of surrounded by some of Ireland's most incredible scenery, like on our coastline, and that you want to You think that what improves it is that you're looking at it from a car park. You know, like that you'd stand on the beach and think, you know what?
So handy.
You're
just,
like you say, you've got this amazing backdrop, the steep kind of road down to it. You've got the beautiful Atlantic Ocean. Next up, the United States. You've got like the Donegal Coast, nowhere like it in the whole world. And that you would stand there and that you look around and you think, you know what this is missing? A car park.
But you know what? It's really handy. When you were down there as a kid and you wanted to get all your like buckets and spades and all your towels and all your swim stuff.
Just carry it
and
down.
You didn't have to carry it up and down. Non-existent car park.
Oh, stop.
Great.
No,
then you are
I'm
bringing the sand
it.
Directly into the car to the other thing.
Sure, that's kind of part.
This is why we need.
Home.
This is why democracy doesn't work. We need a strong man leader to introduce some real rules in this country. I'm not having.
Well, I'm
it.
Going to advocate strongly anyway for the drive on.
Do you love the good weather?
Yeah, I love. Like, I am a summer person.
Yes.
I love it. Similar to you now. Nice glass of Sauvignon. That'd be just perfect now. Only it's a Wednesday, so we couldn't wait till a Friday to get that. But I love.
Everyone who knows Andrea there. Rolling their eyes. Yeah, whatever.
No. But, like, I love that. I love.
The day that ends in a Y.
Yeah, like, just sitting outside. Nice lunch outside in the sun. Just fabulous. There's nothing like it.
So, where in the world then would you have spent your youth, Saoirse?
We would have been, so most of the time we'd have been West Cork, because I'm from, obviously, Cork, never made that clear.
Where
before.
Does West Cork start?
That's a great question. Someone tried to say recently that Kinsale was West Cork, and I have to refute that. It's just not. But I would say it's
right.
Probably like, Clonakilty is like where I would start, I think it starts. But that's because I spent my childhood in Skibbereen, which is like past Clonakilty. So to me, that was like the halfway point of getting there from Cove.
So the further west you go, the more hardline you are.
West you go, the more West Cork.
The more exclusive you want it to be, yeah. There's people who say it only starts in the Beira Peninsula.
Do you know what,
people
though? It is true, because the other day, my roommate and I were talking about like these really expensive houses in West Cork, what we'd buy if we'd all this money. And we're looking at all these ones down in like Goleen and stuff. And I was like, geez, that's fierce West Cork. Like that's. She was like, you've been there. I was like, I haven't. I've only been to Skibbereen. Well, that's not true, but that's like my benchmark of West Cork. We would have spent a lot of time down in Ballydehob, which is just after it, in like Roaring Water Base. We'd be there loads and loads as kids, which was great. My granddad's from there. And then like my parents, in fairness, like we were very lucky, got to go on holidays, you know, regular amount. But they were never big, like sit by the pool for a week kind of people. We were always going places that had really nice food and they'd love to go to like meet all these people. And I have memories of like being at these Italian restaurants and then coming back with all this wine and being sent home with it because we kept going to this restaurant and it was really nice, whatever. And that to me is still something that I do now on summer holidays. Like I'd never be the one to kind of, I'm not a big pool person, I don't think, on a holiday anyway.
I love that. I think that comes with age though. Like I've really, yeah, as I've got, I used to hate this like in my late 20s, but now in my late 30s, I love a week by a pool. Do nothing, few drinks.
You're in your late 30s a long
about,
time.
It's flicking about on Instagram. Just do nothing. Chilling out.
So yeah, you're a keen sailor.
Yeah, so this has kind of been my, like early days would have been Rosnaila, and then most of my, kind of from my early teens up, I spent the entire summer at Ross's Point in Sligo sailing because my dad was mad into it. So he was really big into dinghy
and
sailing.
And so, what were you sailing then?
So we were sailing, they were called Mirror Boat, M-I-R-R-O-R, but because I have a bit of a Donegal border twang, it sounds like a mirror.
Okay, mirror.
A mirror, yeah, boat.
How's it, mirror boat? That's
yeah, so it's a two-person dinghy, two-sail dinghy and a spinnaker, which is the third colourful sail. So we used to sail that competitively.
And
so
would you always have the same person on your team that you were sailing
yeah,
with?
Yeah, so you would have had a crew for the summer. So like that was kind of a competitive market. You wanted a shop to get the right crew, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so I would have done, there was like various different sailing teaching levels, kind of like people who've done the lifeguarding courses over the years. You went through the different sailing levels. So I went up to being like, say, the highest level as a senior instructor, which meant you were running children's sailing courses. So like most of my college years, I would have spent my summer managing a course of maybe 120 kids with like, you could have 10 or 11 instructors. I've taught out in Sutton, in Dublin, spent summers there, Sligo, and then I went to the States for two summers. We did our J1s teaching children sailing in Lake Michigan and Chicago and in Jacksonville, Florida, teaching the Florida sailing team. So like it was the most amazing, like looking back now, like to think that was your hobby as a kid.
Yeah.
It translated into, like we were earning great money in America because sure, they all thought we were still, you know, living in the era of the famine and we were poor and we had to emigrate to get
she
jobs.
She can't even say mirror that poor
and
woman.
I
give her a few bob.
I was playing it up. It was my best ever acting performance and the tips used to get off the parents were just incredible.
You need to play it up to be fair in the States.
Oh yeah.
I used to work in a restaurant tonight like I'm just off the boat.
Yeah.
The park.
Oh yeah.
Northwest of Ireland. So they thought you hadn't a penny. It was brilliant.
And you don't do that anymore though?
No, I don't.
Would you like to get back
into it? I'm dying to get back into it. And every single time I see Bobby Kerr, we have the same discussion about when am I going out sailing again and why am I not getting back into it? And I need to get back into it because we sailed competitively all over Ireland. So we've been down in Kinsale, we've been in Cove, we've sailed out of Crosshaven, spent loads of summers in the Royal George and the National and Dunleary, Sutton, Clontarf, like all over the country we've sailed. And it, like, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. But because it was something I did with my dad in later years competitively, I kind of then, when he passed away, never really got back into it. And then I was obviously working in Dublin and your summers weren't free when you were working weekends. So it just work didn't lend itself to it. But now I have no excuse. I basically work like
Yeah, that's true. Would you go back to doing the type of sailing you were doing before, or like what Bobby
dinghy
does?
Dinghy sailing, is, yeah, like, you know, more leisure sailing.
Yeah.
Like, Bobby won't appreciate me saying that. It's still competitive, but it's in much bigger 30, 35, 40 foot yachts.
Yeah.
Whereas I was like hiking, trapeze hiking.
Well, you were kind of saying, like, kind of a bathtub with a sailing kind of thing.
It was basically a bathtub with one crew and you spent most of your time hiking off the side of the boat.
It's so impressive. I don't know how you stay on. Like, my cousin Meadow and my uncle's partner Fiona, they sail like together as a team a lot. Meadow's about 16 and like they would pair up and they would do it together, and it's class. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I've never sailed in my life. I can barely get in a stand-up paddleboard, for God's sake, but like, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, your legs are kind of the biggest part of your body that bears the brunt of the weight, because like you're hiking out off the side of the boat, so that's obviously, you know, the balance of the boat, particularly when you're sailing upwind. So yeah, my fitness levels would definitely need to improve if I was going to go back to it, but I would love to get back into it for the fitness side of it. But it's incredibly social, and that's something I thoroughly enjoy.
That's true. Hey, check out Andrea's Instagram to find out how much. So I have all these questions because Annalise Murphy was on a podcast recently with Medals and Mics with Dermot O'Rourke and Rob Heffernan and David Gittick, and she just, it's kind of fascinating. So when she did her Leaving Cert, you kind of, I guess in your mind, you imagine kind of people kind of well to do, you know what I mean, and that's kind of the sailing set, and I obviously like Andrea, you know? Kind of basically a landlord and kind of site on it all. But she still talked about kind of like when she did Leaving Cert, borrowing her parents' Volvo and put herself and her sister going off to kind of Europe to race on the circuit, and putting three boats on a hitch in the back and renting the third boat to people so that they could pay their way. You know, and sleeping in the car at different times. Then her sister went home and she was renting two boats to try and kind of keep going.
Dinghy sailing, you know, by its nature, comparatively to other sports, it's not as expensive. Look, it's an expensive hobby, but it's not as expensive as people would think. You know, you have the cruiser and the yacht sailing, that's big bucks. But a lot of these are, as you said, they're sort of a glorified bathtub. They're about maybe 14 foot. Like, they're not huge.
Yeah.
They are expensive, but they're not, I suppose, what people typically tend to think of when they see cruisers and the
That's the West Cork crowd.
I actually had a dinghy off out to Shirkin
for lunch.
My granny used to have a dinghy and it literally, like, it was barely inflated. We went out once, and that summer I'd gotten like this big fascination with electric eels. I just thought they were everywhere.
Oh, right.
Eels in every body of water. So we were like coming out in the boat, and my uncle was there over from Manchester, and we were all in the boat and everyone was having a great time, but I was like having a panic attack on this boat, so the eels, and the more people we got on the boat, obviously the more deflated it became and the closer to the water we were getting, and I thought the end of my life was imminent by electric eel. I didn't, you'll be glad to know.
Okay.
I survived to this day.
But there is, joking aside, I mean, down that part of the country, West Cork and like Roaring Water Bay and all of that, I mean, there is huge sailing community.
Yeah.
All around Skull and Baltimore and all of that.
It's so gorgeous, why wouldn't you?
I wouldn't, I can't.
And there's too many.
Never
jellyfish.
Too late though. And a lot of people, actually, my dad got into it. It was funny because my dad is originally from Sutton, staring out over the bay every single day of his life. And he only took up sailing as an adult when he moved to Ballyshannon, because they'd had an adult sailing course in Ross's Point in Sligo. And he only took it up in his, like, whatever. Like, sure, I must have been very young, so he must maybe late 20s, well, 30, I'd say, probably, when he took it up. But it's like, it's a real, it's very similar to golf. That's how I describe it. And people who retire that are into it, you can kind of do it at any fitness level and on right up to any age. So I think that's why a lot of people who are in it tend to stick at it.
What summer jobs had you when you were younger?
Summer jobs. My first summer job I had when I was 14. And whenever I say this, my mom's always like, don't say that because it sounds like we forced you into it, and we didn't. The girl in my year had a job and I was really jealous. So I was like, I want a job. So I got this job in this cafe down in Cove, and they also owned the coffee shop in Spike Island across the way. Now, Spike Island now is lovely. I haven't been in a few years, but from all accounts, it's lovely. It's really like been done up and, you know, they've nice stuff there. It wasn't quite so good like, what was that, 12, 13 years ago. And it was just like this rundown coffee shop over there that had one working coffee handle and one broken one. And I'd be sent over in the mornings by myself at 14. Like the first couple of weeks, you know, I'd go with someone else.
Deposited on the island.
Deposited in the morning, on the first boat over in the morning with like a few cartons of milk, like, and I'd be sent over. And I, at one point, I won't say who the employer was, but I was told that if the milk ran out, just add a bit of water. I was like, this is...
water down the milk.
Just water down. So we went over, and the way it worked, because obviously like there's not people milling about the island, right? Like there's no prisoners anymore. You're just getting like boats of tourists. So we'd get like 60 or 70 off the boat in one go, and they'd all come straight to the coffee shop, and I'm like 14 years old, don't even know what a latte looks like, and they're asking me to make them, and I, like, there's no food to give them. There's like, we had merch, actually we sold merch as well, so I was also a merch retailer. And then they'd all disappear, and then I'd do nothing, and then the next boat would come and they'd all go, and then at the end of the day I'd have to just pack up and count up the money and go home. And it was ridiculous. I don't know now how A, it was allowed, or B, why I did it.
Well, I hope you water down the money the same way they put the water down.
Imagine trusting a 14-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I'll just take a little bit of that for myself.
Oh, sure, geez, I'm only doing lower level maths, and I was. I couldn't count life.
You're so. Like, you're still the same. Oh, be gorish, how you can't trust me.
The profits were class. But it was, I did get locked on there once as well, and they just send the boat back to get me. Yeah, I got left behind in the fortress. They just like left me there. And thankfully, a friend had actually come over that day with me just to hang out with me, and she was there because I was losing my mind, and I had to call the boat people and say, can you please come back and unlock the fortress because I'm still here and I'm 14, let me go home.
Anyway, listen, Saoirse Hanley, columnist with the Sunday Independent, Andrea Gilligan, News Talk presenter, you're both thank you both very much. You're both very welcome, I nearly said. I'm an awful habit of saying that. Thank you both.
Thanks,
very much.
Kieran. Thank you. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Saoirse. Got the hint. Andrea?
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Andrea.
Always.
Anyway.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.